Bibles in our hands. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. A part of Deliverance Simple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise. Glory to God. Glory to God. You guys are a wonderful company to preach to, both those in the building and those online. And, you know, when my alarm goes off on a Sunday morning, if I have not finished my sermon earlier in the week, my alarm goes off early on Sunday morning. And in my mind, I say, this is something I get to do. This is not something I have to do, but I get to pastor these people. I get to share the word. And it makes it better when you are a good people to share the word with, and you are a good people. Actually, let me apologize. Let me change that. You are a great people to pastor and a great people to share the word with. So how about you pat your own self on the back for being great? I could share many things that many people do, but just one thing I thought of. Brother Dwayne took it upon himself one Sunday. We had just no more envelopes, and so he went and got us some just regular envelopes, but then took it on himself to go beyond that and to get new envelopes printed up for us, and so they're there out now. Just decided to do it, so thank you. But many of you do just many things. You just pick up and do things because you are a great people. And don't let anybody tell you different. Amen. All right. Now for the word of the Lord this morning. And I will be reading since Mother Mitchell's gone. But the title of the sermon is called this, The Great Landscaper. The Great Landscaper. One thing that I am not is a great landscaper. I have got to the place in my sinuses that fresh grass just bothers me tremendously. So I'd pay to get someone to cut my grass, to take care of my grass. But beyond that, the hedges need trimmed. That's just not my jam. That's just not my thing. But when you have somebody who's good at it, Brother Doug's good at it. He's good. He knows what he's doing. But I want to talk about the great landscaper. Let's go all the way to Genesis chapter 2. And when you look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 6 to 9, let me just throw this out there. This is something that it took me quite a while to pick up on, but Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 are two creation accounts. Some scholars believe they're two different creation accounts that compete with each other. But then there's other scholars that believe, and I believe the latter, that Genesis 1 is an overall creation account and Genesis 2 is a drilled down, more focused creation account. And so I've mentioned to you before the law of first mention in theology, which means the first time something is mentioned in Scripture, it tells us everything we need to know throughout Scripture. And this doesn't always happen, but it's a good principle that's really pretty close. And so when you look at this phraseology that we'll go through, we're going to see something about God, our Father, our Creator. So when I say the great landscaper, this time I'm not talking about Doug, but I'm talking about God. Look at Genesis 2, verse 6. It says this, "But a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground." Talking about the system of the earth, the dew, how it was in the early days before the fall. Verse 7 says this, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground." I'm going to pause and just throw this out here. It's not in my notes, but there's no need for you get the high head, because at the end of the day, you ain't nothing but a bunch of dust. You and me both. The majority of the dust in your house comes from your own skin, because we are consistently returning back to dust. And so we don't have anything to boast in and of ourselves, but it's a beautiful thing that God took the dust of the ground and he formed us. So back to the verse, I'll start it again from the beginning. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the pneuma of life, and man became a living being. So from dust to a living being, because God formed the dust and breathed into man. And King James says man became a living soul. All right. Verse 8. Look at this. It says, the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. So after he had formed man, the scripture says that he actually planted a garden. And so I could call this the great gardener, but I'm calling it the great landscaper, because early on we see that God used his hands not only to form man, but to actually plant a garden. Sister Rutha, she likes gardening, and so that's very akin to God. God planted a garden. The garden we know of Eden, it was actually planted. Verse 9 says this, out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You Bible scholars know that things went haywire after that by the time we get to Genesis chapter 3. So the point that I'm making is that God is the master gardener and the master landscaper. And you are his prized possession and his garden. And he reserves the right to work on his garden to perfect it. Now, since I'm not very good at gardening and landscaping, someone else who's good at it will see all the things that I am missing. They will look at my yard and say, that's not supposed to go there. That's crabgrass. Crabgrass shouldn't grow there. As long as it's green, I don't care, because I'm not really good at that. But let me say the same thing, because God is the great landscaper and the ultimate gardener. There are things that are okay with you that's not okay with him. And because it's not okay with him, he will take his hands and he will begin to rearrange things in your life. And many times you think God doesn't like you, but really he still loves you, but he's a master gardener. He's putting things together because he wants you to be what he's designed and destined you to be, and it's going to take some work. So, having said that, let's look at this. Three stages of landscaping in spiritual life. In your spiritual life, we're going to work through three stages. I could give you several others. I'm just going to work through three today. Three stages of landscaping in your spiritual life. You may be being landscaped right now. More than likely, all of us are being landscaped right now. We are not who we used to be, but we're not altogether who we want to be. And that gap in between, the gardener begins to work so that we can be everything God wants us to be. Now, let me pause and say this, that being everything God wants us to be sounds good until you're in the middle of the process. Because sometimes God will mess with you with stuff that you don't feel like is a problem. Sister Teresa gets on my nerves, and so I'm just going to tell her like it T.I. is. Because I'm grown. I'm 21 plus, and I got an opinion, and I can give my opinion. And God tells you, shut up. Well, I don't want to shut up. I'm grown. Well, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, sometimes he's going to make you shut up when you don't want to shut up. And it's got nothing to do with your salvation, nothing to do with your Christianity, nothing to do with your Holy Ghost. It has with God making you into a better person. And when God is making you into a better person, it doesn't always feel like you want it to feel. But God is the master gardener, the great landscaper. And so he has the big picture in mind, and he knows how you're supposed to end up. So he's messing with you to get you where you need to be. Mama and daddy, when we were growing up, would mess with us with stuff that we didn't want to be messed with. Leave me alone. Never wanted mom and daddy to leave you alone. But the older you get, you're so grateful that mama didn't leave you alone, because mama knew what you didn't know. I remember my mother was bugging me when I was young about a checkbook. Boy, you're going to have to know how to balance your checkbook. Mama, I'm broke. I don't need to know nothing about no checkbook, no nothing. Leave me alone. Let me watch Saturday morning cartoons. Let me eat my cereal and my Fruit Loops. Leave me alone. But I'm so grateful at 25, at 35, that mama messed with me about stuff I didn't want to be messed with about, because she was looking out for my future. And God being the great landscaper, sometimes he plucks people out your life that you won't to stay there. Sometimes he cuts stuff away that you want to keep, but he's making you into what you need to be. So trust the process. And I'm going to have to move to point one, because I'm going to start preaching my points too quick. So number one is simply this: growing. The first step is growing. When you are when you have a new home construction, one thing that you see about new home construction is a lot of times the landscape in front of it is just a bunch of dust. And if you watch it, they'll throw straw down there. And then they may lay some sod down there, because the first step is they got to get it to grow. They got to get it to come up, something to come up. It's not nice to have a beautiful mansion and just a whole bunch of dust. Dust isn't so bad until it rains, because now the dust turns into mud. And now anybody who comes to your beautiful house is now going to be tracking mud in there. So you want some green grass somewhere. So the first thing is you got to get some stuff to grow. And the first step of our relationship with God is growth. Here's the thing, though, saints. Growth is not a one-time thing. Growth is a process. And the growth you had for 2022 is not good for 2026. And so God knows you've been in 2022 mode for the last several years. So God gonna wreck your 2025 to get you ready for where you need to be in 2026. Some of us have gotten too comfortable, and so God has to grow us up. All right, mature us. We don't like that kind of preaching, to mature and to grow up. Some of the stuff that you are stumbling over is because you just haven't grown up. You just need to grow up. Some of the stuff that bothers you now won't bother you later. You need to grow up. Do you know that there are people who get all flipped out over something they saw on Facebook about people they don't really know? They all up in arms on somebody on TikTok. Do you know them? No. But you all freaked out. You need to grow up. Them people are making money off of your views, and sometimes they just putting stuff out there, and you so emotionally invested in them, you can't live your own life. Sometimes you're just going to have to grow up. Oh, yeah. My daddy used to say, the young and the restless, the old and the tired, the crippled and the crazy, because people used to get so locked in to the stories. I can't come to church, the Bible study, because the stories is on. Do you know the stories are a story for a reason? Because it's not real. You got to learn how to grow up and choose what is most important in life. Now, nothing wrong with you having entertainment. Nothing wrong with you having Netflix and chill. Nothing wrong with watching the Tubi movie every now and then, and Amazon Prime and HBO Max and Hulu and Disney Plus and all the different things that we entertain ourselves with. But here's the thing. If you've been stuck on stupid too long, you can't keep entertaining yourself. You're going to have to grow up. You may have to pick up a book. You may have to do some research. You may have to go somewhere and train your mind, because growth is the initial process to show that you are maturing. Now, I'm trying to think of one of our newer members. Let me think of Ariel's daughter, Ajari. Ajari, at the age that she is, she's at the appropriate height for her age. But if she's still at that height 10 years later, we would think there's a problem, because there should be some growth. The problem with spiritual growth is you can't see it the same way. So you have people that say, I've been saved for 25 years. You may have been saved for 25 years, but you still look like a 2-year-old toddler in your spirituality, because you don't have any real growth. The same things that tripped you up 20 years ago are tripping you up now, because you don't have any growth. Pastor, I can't come to Deliverance Temple no more. What's the matter, sweetheart? So-and-so talked about me. How long you been saved? And you ain't got over folk talking about you. That's what talkers do. Talkers will talk. But when you have some maturity, you don't let talk stop you from being what God has called you to be. All right. So let me get out of that. Let me get into scripture, just so you know I'm not making up stuff. Look at what the scripture says. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 says this: therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. It doesn't say pray it away. It says you're going to have to put it aside. It's if you want to grow, there's some stuff you're going to have to put aside and let go. And sometimes that means even some of the church folk that you love, you're going to have to put them aside. I love Mother So-and-so, but Mother So-and-so is still really messy. So messy mother, I can't spend a whole lot of time around her, because it messes with my spiritual growth. Maybe it works for her, but it's not going to work for me. So I got to put it aside, lay it aside. Now, this is what it says in verse 2, which is interesting. It says this: like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So it means you've got to desire the thing that's going to make you grow. Here's the thing about growth: the things that make us grow the way we want to grow don't always taste how we want them to taste. I may want a big thing of Kool-Aid with all the sugar down at the bottom. I want some of that. I want you to pour syrup on in my cup. But it tastes good, but it might not be what you best need for your growth. So you have to learn how to choose a growth strategy. This feels good. This sounds good, but this doesn't grow me up. So maybe I need a dab of this and a whole bunch of this. And here it says you have to have, and the King James says, the sincere milk of the word. In other words, you're going to have to actually go after the stuff that's going to grow you up. But then it says this at the end. It says, so that it by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Wait a second. If I'm saved, why do I need to grow? Let's put this up. Here's an A point to go with one, a takeaway. Salvation is a starting point, not a stopping point. A lot of people think that, hey, I came to the altar, I said the little prayer, I'm good. But that's a starting point, not a stopping point. So you shouldn't be the same place you were once you said the prayer. There ought to be some growth or some growing. All right, let's go to Psalms 92, verse 12. Says this, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Let me break this down to your brother Carl, and I'm going to tell it to brother Carl and hope y'all can listen to and hear it as I'm talking to him. So the scripture says the righteous flourish like a palm tree. What's interesting about a palm tree is makes them so beautiful. One thing, I've said it before, they bend and they don't break. That's one thing that's beautiful about a palm tree. Another thing that's beautiful is they grow in situations that are actually adverse to them. Normally, you'll find palm trees in hot weather. You'll find them in Florida, and you'll find them on the coast of California, specifically in the Palm Springs Desert. You'll find palm trees. So palm trees, they flourish even in the desert. Even when the sun is beating on them, they still flourish. And now the cedar of Lebanon, it would grow to 100 feet. The base of the tree would be 30 feet wide. It could grow up to 30 feet wide. To give you just a context, the lobby of our church is about 30 feet wide. And so think of a tree that covers that whole space and shoots up 100 feet in the air. The scripture says the righteous will flourish like a palm tree and like a cedar of Lebanon. So what are you saying, Pastor Andre? I'm saying if you're growing properly, every little thing won't take you out. If you're growing properly, you can go through hell and still bounce back. If you're growing properly, you won't fold. If you're growing properly, the person in the pew next to you backsliding won't stop you from growing, because it's a personal thing. I'm rooted, I'm grounded, and the great landscaper has gone through all this trouble to make me grow. So the last thing I'm going to do is not grow when he wants me to grow. Now, what landscapers do, they throw the hay down there. They throw the sod down there. But sometimes what they'll do, they'll throw grass seed down there. And they put a lot in it to make it grow. And so if he's the great landscaper and I'm not growing, I make him look bad. And the problem is never God. The problem is always us. And so saints, Deliverance Temple members, please don't make the great landscaper look bad because you bear. What do you mean bear? You have no fruit. Here's what the scripture says. The scripture says you'll know a tree by the fruit that it bears. Doesn't say you know a tree by how many verses they can quote. Not by how many times they come to Sunday service or how many times they say amen. It's the fruit. And so you ought to be producing fruit. What are the fruit? It's the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. So when people encounter you, they ought to get fruit from you. Let me make it real plain. When people encounter you, they ought to be better off than they were when they met you. Have you ever met a Christian and by the time you got done with that Christian, you feel worse than you did had you not been around them? Deliverance Temple, please don't be like that. Please don't be one of those people on your job that can't nobody stand. You got your cross on, you got your DT shirt on, but can't nobody stand you because you don't have the fruit. Our search says L-O-V-E, but you walk around with H-A-T-E. You really need to take the shirt off if you're not going to live what the shirt is talking about. You really need a new church if you're going to be in a church of love, but you don't have any love growing in your life. Now, we all have bad days. We all have moments. We all have snapped at someone. But I'm talking about when you snappy all the time, when you rude all the time, When you hate for all the time, something's wrong with your growth. All right, let's move on. So look at the verse 13. It says, they are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. There is a flourishing. So number one is growing. Let's move on to number two. Let's say that we've got the proper growth. Number one is growing, but number two is mowing. Because one thing about growth is growth can get out of hand. That's the problem with my landscaping. I got the grass, but it done got a little bit out of hand. The stuff has gotten out of hand because once I pull in the garage, I done forgot about what's out there. So you need some mowing as well. It's not just about growing. You need some mowing. In other words, you need some trimming. So let's look at John 15, verse 1. We just went to the church that bears his name. It says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. And here's verse 2, the verse I love. It says this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, which I just talked about, he takes away or he cuts it off. Then it says, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Put this up in the B takeaway and then I'll explain it. There's only two options. You are either getting cut off or cut on. If you don't bear any fruit, the scripture says you're going to get cut off. You're useless if you're not producing fruit. But even if you are producing fruit, you're going to be trimmed and mowed and cut on. So here's what I'm saying to you. Sometimes, let me talk to Jasmine. I'm done with talking to Carl. I'm going to talk to Jasmine for a second. And so Jasmine is looking at Andre, and Andre's not bearing any fruit. And Jasmine is waiting for Andre to have the hammer brought down on him by God. And it looks like God don't bother Andre, but God starts bothering Jasmine. And the question Jasmine has is, I'm growing, so God, why are you messing with me? The scripture says, even if you're growing, he cuts on you so you can grow some more. So sometimes, saints, what happens is we are doing what we're supposed to do and we still get cut. We're going in the direction we're supposed to go and God is still trimming us because he's putting us where we need to be. Earlier at the beginning, before service started, me and Brother Will were talking, and Brother Jason chimed in. We were talking about haircuts, and me and Will are laughing how we don't have to do too much for our haircuts. And Brother Jason was talking about how he tried to go bald for about 3 months, but his hair grows too fast. So he stopped it. He says, hey, and I teased him. I said, because you got that good, pretty hair. You ain't got what we got. You got that pretty hair. But when you got that good, pretty hair, you got to go to the hairdresser a little more often. It costs you more to look better because of your growth. So sometimes, even though you're growing, God will still mess with you. He'll still bother you. And the assumption is God must not love me, but no, he loves you so much and you're growing so much that he keeps cutting on you so you can grow some more. Sometimes you say, God, I'm giving the most that I can give. And God tells you, up your giving some more. Well, the person next to me, they don't never get up and give an offering. Number one, we have digital giving, so you can't tell who's giving and who's not. So you should get that out of your mind. But it's a possibility. God is not worried about them. See, what God has for you is for you. And what God has for them is for them. Stop worrying about them and worry about you. And let me tell you something. When God is cutting on you, he's cutting on you because there's more in you that you can go to. Doesn't always feel good. doesn't always feel good. I'm calling folk out because I just feel like doing it today. Sister Kiana, me and her have talked before, and she talks about how, man, sometimes it seems like God don't give her a break, can't catch a break. But sometimes you can't catch a break because God is working on you. See, when you have a ministry and you have an anointing, sometimes things don't seem fair. But I'm here to let you know, when the tables turn and the anointing begins to work for you, you'll thank God that he cut on you when it didn't feel fair, because God is pulling something out of you. Here's the thing. If you are a normal, average Christian, nothing really is going to happen to you. But if God is going to use you, you're going to go through something. You're going to have to cry. You're going to have to sweat it out. It's going to cost you something. But the cost will produce something. It's going to produce more fruit. And one thing I've learned about myself, I've become a better person because of the crushing. I become a better person because of the bruising. I'm not going to lie. I complained about it. And God, it don't seem like this pastor got to go through it. I'll never forget. I was around a pastor who I heard preach. And man, that joker was preaching. And we went out to eat afterwards. And man, that joker was cussing. And I was like, I know I didn't struggle with cussing, but I ain't never been just out like this and just... And finally, he looked at me. He said, "Oh, hope I'm not offending you." I'm like, "Good God, mighty! I can't get away with this. Why is it his church can grow? Why is it that he's getting invitations and I can't go places?" But here's the thing, Andre: it's not for you to worry about them. I'm working on you. And I'm learning that it's better to go God's way, even if it's the harder way, because he's producing more fruit. He's producing something in you, so you're not going to get away with everybody gets away with. Stuff that other people don't bother them, it's going to bother you. You can have an attitude one morning, and then the next morning God make you apologize to everybody. You can have an attitude one morning, be at Starbucks, let me get my coffee to get my attitude right, and God say, "Pay for the car behind you." I already got an attitude. I ain't trying to do that. But God is cutting on you because he knows he's the great landscaper. He's doing something beautiful in your life, but you got to let him mow. You got to let him trim. You got to let them pull up some of the weeds. And who else can I talk to? Sister Mary, when he's pulling up the weeds, sometimes he pulls up old traumas. And it triggers old trauma, stuff that you thought was buried and gone. And God gets to pulling up stuff. Because here's the truth of the matter, saints. The folk that God is going to save, they're going to come in here and they don't want to be talked to anybody who ain't never been through nothing. They don't want to talk to the person who's been a peach out of reach all their life. They want to know somebody who struggled with sexual addiction and was raped and molested when they was young, and they're still praising God. They want to know, how are you yet praising God with all you've been through? But God pulled them weeds and he was landscaping me. He was working me. It's for the work that God has called you to. And if you feel called to Deliverance Temple, it will not be an easy road. We all have a story. We all have a testimony. And little old sweet Devin, who's private, if she ever opened up and tell you everything she's been through, it blow your mind. It's a bunch of us. Sister Edmund, if she just talked to you about all she's gone through, it'll blow your mind. If she told you what she was dealing with right now, it'll blow your mind. But God is using us to deliver other people. And he's the great landscaper, and he's making us beautiful. The one scripture says all things beautiful in its time. He's doing it. He's doing it, saints. All right, let's move on. This is another scripture that helps us understand this. Jeremiah 18, verse 1 says, "The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, verse 2, go down to the potter's shop
and I will speak to you there. He's saying, Sir Jeremiah, the prophet, I actually want you to see something. Some people are visual learners. I'm a visual learner. He said, Jeremiah, get up, go to the potter shop and just watch. I'm going to talk to you through what you see. Verse 3 says this, so I did as he told me and found the potter working at his wheel, working with the clay. Now the clay is from the same thing. It's from the earth as well. It's very akin to the dust. And so he's working it on the wheel. And look at what verse 4 says. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay and started over. My goodness, he was working with the pottery, but he didn't like the way it was turning out, so he crushed it and started over. It's a possibility that the crushing that you're going through is because you weren't shaping like God wanted you to shape. You weren't moving like God wanted you to move, so he crushed you and started you over. But here's the beautiful thing about the potter. Even though the potter crushes the clay, and the clay has no response. The clay can't say, won't you stop crushing me? Leave me alone. The clay can't say nothing. The clay just has to trust that at the end, the potter knows what he's doing. But here's the beautiful thing about the potter and the clay. Even when he crushes it, his hands are still on it. Oh, I hope you catch the revelation. Even when he crushes it, his hands are still on it. And I've shared it before. If I put a tennis racket in my hands, it's just a tennis racket. Put the same tennis racket in Serena Williams' hands, it's a million-dollar making tennis racket because of whose hands is on it. I may be crushed, but God got his hands on me. I may be crying, but God's got his hands on me. I may be hurting, but God's got his hands on me. And as long as his hands on me, I'll be everything God called me to be, because even in the crushing, he's making me into something. Old songwriter said, Lord, make me over. Make me over again. Even in our praise this morning, we in the middle song, it was never would have made it without you. If you would have took your hands off of me, I would have lost my mind. But I'm so glad, even though you crushed me, you kept your hand on me and you're molding me and you're making me. And God's blessing me in a beautiful way. But it took something. It cost something. And I'm here to let you know it's going to be okay. I will just pause and say this. It's not in my notes, but let me just say this briefly. God has been doing some things that have been scaring me in a good way. God has been just doing stuff. Even last night, something happened in a dream I had. I had prayed some months ago about something, and an answer came to me in the dream last night. I woke up about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I wasn't tired. I woke up refreshed because God had ministered me in the dream. He's just been doing some stuff, and I wish I could tell you all he's doing. And while he's doing it, the devil's been doing some stuff, but God's just working some stuff out. Let me tell you something real quick. So the devil did some stuff this week to my family, even to Lady Devon. If I let her share it, if she wants to share it, but just doing some stuff, cutting up. But then I got a call from my brother. I've been doing some business with my brother, and he said, the business, there's some money coming to you. And so we calculated it, and he laughed, and he said, you won't believe what the number is. I said, what is it? It's $666. And he's like, I got to send it to you. And he was like, I don't know if you want that number. I said, no, send it just like it is. Because it was God saying the devil cutting up. But I'm going to send what's known as the devil's number in a blessing to you. And send it right to your account. Ha, 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 devil. You tried it over here, but my God ain't worried about your mess, because he know how to bless through mess. He know how to bless even when the devil is busy. People always say, the devil sure is busy. Yes, he's busy. He's supposed to be busy. He's doing his job. But while he's being busy, God is still a way maker, a promise keeper, light in the darkness. He still
is a miracle worker. He's still turning things around. So while we're talking about the devil, somebody need to talk about God. God is still in the blessing business. He's still in the healing business. He still sits on the throne. So let me just sit back and watch the devil have to cry, because God gonna bless me. But God don't bless you till it crush you. Another thing not in my notes, but I gotta say it. I preached it years ago. The scripture talks about when he fed the 5,000. They only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the scripture said that he took the bread. The Bible says he blessed it, then he broke it. See, sometimes when you're broken, you assume you're not blessed. But sometimes it's the breaking that proves that you're blessed. Because as long as everything is perfect, then it's no proof that you're blessed. But if you can take these broken pieces and you can put me back together again, I know nobody did it but God. I feel like Humpty Dumpty. All the king's horses and all the king's men, they couldn't put them back together again. But it cost like Tamla man. Nobody took them to the king. But when you get to the king can put all your broken pieces back together again. And I thank God for him putting me together again. This gives me time to tell a story. I've told it 100 times. I'll tell it again. There was 2 beautiful vases going to an art auction. And on the way to the art auction, one of the vases began to rock and it fell and it cracked. And they were worried because they were supposed to be sold in a pair. And so somebody took and glued the pieces back together as best they could, but it was raggedy looking. And so when they got to the art auction, they said, the only thing we can do is sell them separate. We're going to put the beautiful vase up front, and we're going to put the little ugly vase in the back. Maybe somebody will buy it. But then they took 2 candles, and they dropped them in both vases. But the unbroken vase, none of the light from the candle could shine through. But the broken, ugly piece together vase, when they dropped the light in, the light began to shine through all them broken pieces. And in the art auction, they kept looking around and people said, how much do you want for this one? Nobody cared for the unbroken vase. They wanted the broken put back together vase, because once the light got in, it was so beautiful. Listen, if you've ever been dropped, if you've ever been crushed, if you've ever been broken, and the Spirit of God is down on the inside of you, that's why you're so beautiful, because the light is shining through. All right, moving to my last one, number 3. So we got growing, we got mowing, and now we have flowing. Because the process is that you can't cut too much, because you still need some water so that the cycle will begin to grow. So if you have a person who's not a good landscaper, they'll cut it so low that it'll begin to die. You got to water it too. So you got the growing, you got the mowing, and then you have the flowing. Let's look at Psalms 1:1-3. It says this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, not just Sunday morning listening to Pastor Andre, but connecting with your Creator continually, day and night. Verse 3 says this, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So after I grow you and mow you, I plant you by some water so you're always continually refreshed. And so even though the potter is crushing you, he got you connected to the water. Even though he's trimming you, he's showering you with blessings so that you can be sustained, so that you will grow. Put this up. See, here it is. Where there is no consistent flow, stagnation is inevitable. When you have a stale, stagnant Christian, they don't have no flow.
They don't have no currency. They don't have enough going on. Last week we talked about the leader within. They don't have nothing keeping them flowing. But when you have a real Christian who really their hope is God and God alone, I can't trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. When you have one of those, they have a source that they can't even explain. I don't know why I'm smiling. I don't know why I'm happy. They denied me on the job. They didn't give me the promotion. The boyfriend walked out on me. The girlfriend left me. But yet I'm still praising God. And I can't even explain it. But there's a flow down on the inside. There's a power that I've tapped into. There's a river of God flowing and it's moving. There's a fountain of God. I feel like preaching. I feel like praising. I feel like shouting. I feel like dancing because I have a flow. So many of y'all, it doesn't really make sense. You got all these negative things that have happened to you down through the years. You could go on the old Oprah show and tell everybody your story and everybody would drop their mouth, all you've been through. But you don't even want to talk about what you've been through. You want to talk about where you're going because you got a flow. That's why the old saints would say, I got a feeling. Everything gonna be all right. I can't explain it. I just got a feeling. I got a flow. I got an unction. Everything gonna be all right. Yes, I lost a loved one, but I got a feeling it's gonna turn out for my good. Yes, I'm struggling, but I got a feeling there's a flowing. There's a watering. If you've ever been to Niagara Falls, it's beautiful. Just to see how the water just rushes over. And that water creates actually electricity, the power. But many of us, we have a rushing that's so beautiful because we have a flow. Let's look at it in John 7:38. Very familiar scripture says this. And as Sister Rutha and Sister Teresa and Sister Ruby, as I was preparing this, I could hear this scripture in your mother's verse. I heard Mother Woods, Mother Mabel Woods. It says, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. She used to love that. She said, out of your belly, as the King James would say, will flow rivers of living water. That's why I'm happy, not just because of my bank account or the house that I drive or the marriage I have or the house that I live in, the marriage I have or the car that I drive. I'm happy because I got rivers of living water. I got an internal flow down on the inside. Scripture says it this way. We will with joy draw water from the wells of salvation. Y'all think my TikToks are crazy. Y'all ought to just see me. I mean, some days I just belly laugh, gut laugh. I mean, laugh till tears come out my eye. Have a good old time with the Lord because I've got joy. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. So the world can't take it away. They be getting on my nerves on my job, but I still got joy. Your children are cutting up, but I still got joy. The president is acting a fool, but I still got joy. The mayor may not do what you want him to do, but I still got joy. Your spouse may not act right, but I still got joy. The school ain't acting right, but I still got joy. Because the joy is down on the inside. Here's the conclusion. It's the conclusion of the matter. Let me add it this way. And I don't have time to really get into this, but God is more concerned with your growth on earth than he is your future status in heaven. A lot of Christians think it's just about going somewhere when you die. But the scripture talks about it's about living right here. I keep telling you, I don't need my bills paid in heaven. I don't need a good marriage in heaven. I don't need all that. I need that stuff right now. So guess what? I'm trying to grow and be molded and have my flow right here. Stop twiddling your thumbs to heaven and get active right now. Let the landscaper work on you right now. And here's the scripture to add with it. Matthew 6, 9 through 10 says it this way. Pray. This is Jesus telling them. Pray then in this way. He's telling them how to pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then he says in verse 10, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God doesn't need his will enacted in heaven because he's already there. He needs his will enacted on earth. And if God is in heaven and we're on earth, who's going to enact his will on earth? It's going to be us. So God says, I want to landscape you so you can bring my kingdom to the earth. I want the kingdom of God to rule. I want the kingdom of God to reign, and let it rule and let it reign in me and through me. So every Sunday, I'm establishing the kingdom of God. I'm preaching so that the kingdom of God will arise. I'm preaching so that the demonic forces that think they have your address and have a right to mess with you, that they start thinking twice before they show up to mess with any Deliverance Temple member, because they might run into the kingdom of God. I plan on messing with Daryl and Tasha, but I might bump into the kingdom of God. I want to bully and push over Jason, but I might run into the kingdom of God. I want to knock Trish over, but I might run into the kingdom of God, because the great landscaper is working on his people, and we're rising up. When I was a kid, I promise I'm closing. When I was a kid, there was something called the Transformers. And this Transformers, the tagline, it was more than meets the eye. It looked just like a car, but when it needed to, it would become what it needed to become. I may look like a bald-headed, bearded preacher, but let me tell you something. The kingdom of God is coming up out of me. The power of God is showing up in my life. Demons are trembling because the kingdom of God is in me. And the same power that works in me, it works in you. The kingdom is in you because the great landscaper, the great gardener, he's making a way out of no way. Let me say, like I told you last week, he's a lawyer in the courtroom. He's a doctor in a sick room. He's never lost a case. They call him Mary's baby. They call him the wheel in the middle of the wheel. If I was Roy Smith, I'd say he's the great I am. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's the friend to the friendless. He's the joy of the whole world. The Lord, he is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He's everything that I need. Stand to your feet. Give somebody a high five and say, God is on my side. Tell somebody else, God is on your side. The great landscaper, he fights for me. He's my defender. And that's why they would say it this way. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into and they are saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's confess and go on into our communion. But you bring the confession up. Let me add to you people online. If you can get in the building, I'd get in the building. Something's happening in this church. Repeat after me. God, you are the great landscaper, the ultimate gardener. So master, grow me, mow me, and flow through me. Grow me, mow me, and flow through me. Grow me, mow me, and flow through me. So my life always reflects your kingdom in the earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's get our communion. Glory to God. Glory to God. I can tell y'all been praying for your pastor. I appreciate it. Going to the scripture. Looking at Luke 22:19 says this way, says, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Come on, let's take and let's eat the bread. When I do it, sometimes I break it too. All right. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. Now let's drink. Saints, when he talks about the new covenant, he's talking about us. All right, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for being the great landscape in our lives, God. And thank you that you are making beautiful people out of us. And God, we are staying on your potter's wheel to be everything you've called us to be. And in these last and evil days, even with just some folk just on Friday night were shot in the city, God, let us be a beacon light of hope in this city so people can get the help and the deliverance that they need. Let us not be Deliverance Temple by name. Let us be Deliverance Temple by action. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We love you.